Eternal Father, as we look to the day when in clouds our Lord and Savior and thy Son shall descend to this earth in glory, we pray that thou wilt give us intelligence and discipline and will and insight that we might be ready. We ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Some weeks, more than others, the thought of the sorrows of God's heart come into mine, and I cannot help wondering how he feels about us. As I encounter personal need, as I sense and seek to sympathize, having empathized with human sorrow, I wonder what God must think and feel. Most human need comes as a result of a definite cause. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. But in the reaping time, so often, is the sorrowing time. And one sits in frustration, wishing for some magical power to erase the ache that is in the heart, knowing all the time that it cannot be. Cannot be. You don't shrug your shoulders. You don't lift up the edge of the rug and brush everything underneath. Consequences are inescapable. Their results are inexorable. There's nothing, absolutely nothing that we can do. We have been spending hours and hours, my brother and I, talking about cause and effect. Physically, mentally, spiritually. Very, very simple. You do something physically, health-wise, 10 years, 20 years later, it'll catch up with you. No other way. But when it catches up with you, then you are full of regret and sorrow and pain. God tells us he knows the end from the beginning. Was there any sorrow like my sorrow, he says? Knowing, sensing, feeling, torn within his soul, having tried 1,000 ways, 1,000 years to change men's thinking, he watches them suffer the consequences. The powers of darkness, the sinister schemes of the adversary, stealthily, invisibly invade and destroy. But one day this problem, this sorrow, this sin, this heartache, this pain, this death will end. And only those who have prepared for that end will survive. This, too, is simple. It's a truism. 20th century man, of course, doesn't like to think of it, and wishful thinking, of course, denies its existence. But only those who are ready will survive. Those who wish. Those who may be sincere in what they do. If they are not ready, if they are sincere in their lack of preparation, and they're not ready, they'll not make it. Just as simple as that. And you know, God doesn't say that with the thunders of Sinai. He doesn't say that with the atomic detonations that came when the law was given. He says it on every fiber in nature and in every syllable in the scriptures, quietly, persistently, and undebatably. Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And they that were ready went in with him, and they that were unready were too late. Very low key, but very clear. And I wish in the very low key in which the Bible puts it, but reiterates it, that we would begin to sense the reality of it. They that were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man comes. The end came for one of our members this week. As soon as I heard the name, I remembered the last interview we had had in our office for an hour or more. Tears were shed. Prayers were said. Hearts were knit together. Dedication to God and resolution to be ready were made. I can see the yearning in that look. This is no sentiment. This is no made-up narrative. This is fact. As one day I will have to give account. And as soon as I heard the name yesterday, I knew the reason for those tears and those prayers, those confessions, and those resolutions, and those yearnings. God is getting a people ready. Be ye, therefore, ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And one day he'll come. There are those who say, where is the promise of his coming? We've been saying that since AD 34 or AD 44 or AD 1444 or AD 1844. And when we say that with cynicism, all we're doing is fulfilling prophecy, for in the last days will come scoffers saying, where is his promise? So we can just check off another area of prescience on the part of God. He knew. He recorded it. He has warned. Some scoff, but some are ready. Some are getting ready. How is it with you? And when he comes with clouds ascending, where will you be and how will you be? Jesus looked forward to his coming many ways. In the communion service, he gave us a toast to the second advent. I'll drink no more, he says, until that day. In the marriage supper of the Lamb. He is the Lamb. You and I are the bride. The next communion service that he will conduct will be the interpenetrating of will and heart and life and purpose in the marriage of the Lamb, in which he will lift his glass and toast again the product of Calvary's crimson stream until. And he is saying, until. And he is counting the days. I have weddings occasionally to conduct, and this week I heard a voice, and before I said anything else, I said, how many days? He says, I've almost got it down to minutes now. How many days? Tomorrow, at the marriage, and they that were ready went in. And last of all came the foolish, and the door was shut, and the word from within was too late. Jesus predicted his second coming. I will come again and receive you unto myself. And Jesus is the truth. He never lies. It is the other who is the father of lies. Jesus said, I will come again. And he will come again. Though he tarry, wait for it. And while he tarried, the bridesmaid slumbered and slept. Why worry about tarrying? Just so long as you're awake. He'll come. He'll come at the right time. Nowhere in the Bible does he tell us, chastise yourself, castigate your thoughts, have sessions of introspection on why he is the one that is to come, not you. While he tarried, they slumbered and slept. That was the tragedy, not the tarrying. And when the angel nudged them to wakefulness, five were ready. Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man will come. Prophets in the Old Testament and in the New Testament believed in the coming of Christ. Perhaps the earliest book that was ever written, the epic poem that is called the Book of Job, recorded the affirmation of that great suffering saint. I will wait. Thou wilt call. Moses looked forward to the coming. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all the prophets, the psalmists, and all the sweet singers of Israel, the gospel writers, Paul, and the Revelator, all looked to the second coming of Christ. Scores of signs focus on that coming. Sun, moon, and stars, celestial signs. The earth quaking, the sea and the waves and the storms roaring, terrestrial signs. Men's hearts failing them. Anatomical signs. Men departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Religious signs. Marrying and giving in marriage. Feasting and feasting again. Social signs. Nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Wars. Rumors of wars. Nations are angry. International signs. No higher for man, no higher for beast. The hire of the laborers kept back by fraud. Business signs. And one could multiply them and categorize them and analyze them. The important thing is to see them and read them and having seen and read to apply them. Christ's promises, the prophets' predictions, the patriarchs' hopes, the accumulated signs all focus on the last days in which we live. No more prophetic signs, no more time periods, all finished. And this gospel being thrust into all the world, and then the end. Do my words awake in your heart some responsive chord of the first time you heard the truth of the second coming? Can you shake the thrill you then had and dust it off and recreate it in your soul? Or do you find yourself sitting and thinking, this is old stuff? What are we going to do this afternoon? Where are we going tomorrow? How is it with you? Are you interested? Are you ready? Do you believe? Do you want it? One day it'll be here. It matters not whether it finds us in Forest Lawn or in Verdugo Hills. It matters not whether it finds us in Forest Lawn or at the place of business. It'll find us, either ready or unready. And only one knows. Only one holds within the secret of his bosom the time, the day, and the hour. He has already bidden the angels hold till his servants are sealed. And one day he will look from the high places of his eternal throne, and he will see the case of every man and every woman and every child. And he will say, the filthy stay filthy. And I can hear his voice choke. That is his summation and assessment. He does nothing about it. The filthy do. And then he sees that the holy will remain holy. There's nothing he does arbitrarily. He judges. And he has seen that now there are two categories. In Western man's stupidity, he thinks there are 22 million categories. In God's wisdom, there are only two. He that is filthy, and he that is holy. And when the moment is reached that those who are on the side of filthiness have set their minds, and those who are on the area of holiness have decided forever, and he looks down and sees that 10,000 generations would not alter that dichotomy, then he will say, behold, I come quickly. And the prophets have looked to that glorious day, and I love to read it, and I love to think it, and I love to talk about it. It is for that moment that the entire sweep of the plan of salvation has been moving. It is for that glorious moment that angels, unnumbered, guardians of human souls have been waiting impatiently. It is for that moment that the Father, with his heart open to receive his sons and daughters, is waiting to find them coming a long way off, to go at the speed of light, to fall on their necks and embrace them and say, come, 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 ye blessed of my Father, inherit the place prepared for you from the foundation of the world. John says, I saw heaven opened, and the angels of God on white horses. And the Son of Man came, and they brought to him a white horse. Panoplied as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Crowned with seven crowns. Jesus rides forth. Can you see him? In splendor indescribable. In glory unimaginable, riding the procession route of the stars, past galaxies, past systems, the suns and the moons and the stars moving, making way for this enormous concourse. And behind him, streaming almost into illimitable space, the tale of glory that follows. And he comes close and closer to this earth, the cause of all his sorrow, the place where his blood was poured out, a little niche that formed his tomb, containing the dust of those who spat and scourged and crucified and ribaldly ridiculed. He sees it all, but he sees you. And he comes for you. Not for that again. And those who are on the earth wait. There are many who say, lo, he is here. Lo, he is there. But those who hear, remember the echo of Christ's words, go not forth. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and goeth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we have all watched lightning leap from mountain to mountain and span the horizons in a moment. And we have seen it and been thrilled. I used to love the electric storms of the Dakotas. Park the car and watch the lightning. That's one thing Molly and I don't have in common. I love to see it. She didn't. And so I'd go alone and revel. I love a thunderstorm. I used to love the storms of the monsoons. See, Merv and I grew up where there was 50 feet of rain a year. That's 600 inches if you want to work it out. And it rained. And it thundered. And it blew. And I loved to hear it. There are times I've stood and got soaked. And after you're soaked, it's like in a swimming pool. You don't worry anymore. And the rain came down, splashed up to your waist. The glories of any thunderstorm will be nothing next to the lightnings of Christ's coming. Crisscrossing the entire visible universe. The glory of God in undimmed splendor. He'll come with a great shout. Not only will he be visible, he'll be audible. How Satan insinuates with myths of secret comings. Believe it not. Believe it not. Nothing secret about this. Every eye will see him. Every ear will hear him. That's what he says. He'll come with a great noise, a great shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Even the dead will hear. And those who recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd, who have known his voice living, will recognize it in death. and empowered by divine energy will spring forth to meet him. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And ever nearer and nearer will come that procession, till the whole earth will be lighted with his glory. And there will be some, my friends, who will call on the mountains and rocks to hide them. They look to the vast ranges that surround us and wish to be buried. When I think of rocks, I think of Eagle Rock and wonder who will cower under it between the coming king. They that were ready and they that were unready. In the beauty of his coming, in the splendor of his return, in the transcendent glory of his manifestation, in the love depicted and the power carried through to resurrect and transform. Will any of us be afraid? Will any of us be unready? The choice is ours. The word of Christ comes as it comes several times in the scriptures. What more could I have done? What can he do? What more can he do for you? Can you think of anything that Jesus could do to get you ready that he hasn't done? You know, if you focus on something, you will discover he's already done it and you haven't accepted it. There is nothing, nothing that Jesus still has to do to get you ready, except make you want, and he doesn't do that. But he sent me to you. Long ago he called me into his service. He sent me as his ambassador to beseech you for Christ's sake, be reconciled to God. That's my function, my only function. Everything I do, everything I say, every part of this ministry is geared to that goal. You must be ready for that day. So must I. I too, lest having preached to others, I might be a castaway. Be reconciled to God. Square your account. Face your sin. Ask God to forgive you the perversity and selfishness and filth of your heart and mind. You don't like that language? It's biblical. Think about it. It's Christ's view. And it doesn't have to coincide with yours. Tragically. But if you will look from his point of view, if you will realize his love, calling. If you will sense his power to change, if you'll only grasp his patience, perennial patience, to tolerate our stupidity and our sinfulness, say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Make me right and keep me right. Forgive me. Cleanse me. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to square that account. I'm going to confess that sin. I'm going to him or her. And I'm going to make it right and I'm going to be ready. Give me grace. Give me power. And this is the gospel of salvation. This is the message, the proclamation from heaven that we accept. And today and tomorrow and all the tomorrows open to us and there is no sunset. But if we reject the silence and darkness of eternal night will settle on our bemused souls. Choose, my gentle friends, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Let's pray. Eternal Father, when Jesus comes, may we be ready, because today we got ready. Take our thoughts and our lives and our wills and our acts, cleanse and transform and mold and prepare. We ask in mercy, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.